Water Gypsies, written by Annie Murray, read by Penelope Freeman. Part 1, 1942-3. Chapter 1, August 1942.
There we are, my dear.
The midwife leaned over to receive the baby from the doctor after the cord was cut.
And it's another little lady.
In a moment, the screams of the second twin joined those of her sister, who was already lying wrapped in a scrap of sheet in an apple box on the side bed of the cabin. The young mother's groans of pain had ceased, and she lay back, drained of strength, without even the energy to raise her head and look at her babies. Her eyes were glazed with exhaustion. The dark hair slicked to her head. She seemed barely conscious as the doctor stitched her up. The second babe had been awkwardly positioned, and he'd resorted to forceps. Miss Lyons, the midwife, stepped outside onto the counter at the back of the boat while he finished off, pleased to be out of the blasted man's way. She was running with sweat, her hair damp round her temples and the nape of her neck, but it was blazing hot outside, the breeze so sluggish that it was barely more than a ripple against her clammy skin. She perched on the gunwale, wiped her face with her hanky and let out a long sigh. Thank heavens that was over. She could scarcely remember a labour that she had so dearly wanted finished, such was the distress and fragility of the mother. And birthing women in these cabins was a challenge all of its own, with it being dark and no more room than a shoebox, and the stove lit, in this weather, to boil water. It was like a furnace in there. Even so, the doctor had done more than his fair share of complaining, she thought. When she'd realised it was twins and had sent to him for assistance, only one of them could attend to Mrs. Bartholomew at a time, and neither could stand up fully without hitting their head on the ceiling. The doctor, who was new to delivering boaters' babies, had cursed disbelievingly at the lack of space. At last he emerged from the cabin with his bag, clothes crumpled and puce in the face. "All yours," he said curtly. "Everything's as it should be." The air in the cabin smelt rank with sweat and blood.
"Let's get you all cleaned up now, shall we?"
Miss Lyons said kindly, pouring water from the kettle. Poor lamb, she thought, watching the silent figure lying limply on the stained bedding. Many of the boatwomen she saw were hardened and robust, born to the life. But this one was finding it all a struggle, though she certainly tried hard. She occasionally saw Mrs. Bartholomew standing at the helm of the Theodore in her long dark skirts with a colourful scarf round her hair, a slim, wiry figure, chin jutting out at a determined angle. There were usually one or two of the kiddies up on the cabin roof. Of course, she'd had a bad time losing that last little one, and now she looked so beaten down. The cabin floor was covered in filth, and the crochet work along the shelves, which the most house-proud boatwomen kept scrubbed white, had turned a jaundiced grey. As she washed the young woman's body, talking soothingly to her, she couldn't help but see the bug bites on her skin. The bed was obviously alive. She'd have a little word once things were sorted out. Mary Ann could barely even manage to open her eyes, even though the babies were crying for attention. Miss Lyons gave each of them a quick dunking, which made them roar even more, then wrapped them securely in the old bits of sheet and blanket Mary Ann had put ready.
"Come on now, lovely, these little ones need you," she said gently. "Let's get you sat up a bit. We'll get a nice cup of tea down you, and I'll show you how to feed them both at once, shall I?"
She helped Mary Ann position the infants to suckle, and the cabin suddenly went quiet, except for one of the babies making tiny squeaks as she fed. Miss Lyons perched beside her as the tea brewed.
"Well, you've done it, and these two look fit as fiddles. How do you feel?"
Mary Ann looked up at her, lank hair falling down each side of her thin cheeks. She tried to smile.
"As if I've been under a tram."
But her eyes filled and her mouth wobbled.
"Oh, Lord above! Twins! Whatever am I going to do?"